Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Shaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project on the first day of the week. How is everybody doing? Hope everything is going well. It is a cold day outside here. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, it's cold. All praises be to the Most High Yah. I don't know what is going on, but it's just been got cold out here. Woo! But we will all be well. Everything is cool. I guess everybody's doing well. Shalom, shalom. Let me see what we got going on today. If you can hear me, somebody please feel free to push 1. I want to hear it from you. Push 1. Let me know you can hear me. And all this good stuff. Yesterday was a good class. I enjoyed myself, yes, as I always do. You know, it's not a moment that I don't forget. You know, I don't have a good time. I enjoyed myself. Oh, I see Brother Yerushalayim on here. Let me open up his mic. Shalom, Brother Yerushalayim, Sister Rachel. How are you guys doing?
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Are you at work or what's going on?
No, I'm at home. She's at work.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to open up the mic and you was just maybe listening. You know.
No.
Maybe listening.
I'm at home.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good. Well, that is wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. Everything going well, I'm assuming.
Yes, it actually, I just come from outside. Even down here, it's kind of cold. Not as cold as it is up there, but it's kind of cold. I had to check all my plants because I didn't want things to freeze up last night.
Ooh-wee, I'm telling you, it ain't no joke. It was 50 degrees here on Friday. And now it's like, you know, I cut the heat down and shit, that was not going to happen. I had to change that real quick. You know. But we getting through it. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah. It's so much, you know what, it's so much stuff happening, and you just don't know where to start or what to say. You know, I guess, you know, I don't want to talk about the same thing over and over again, but I mean, if somebody, you know, has a topic that they want to talk about or something they want to talk about, please feel free. Brother Yerushalayim, you have anything new to report or, you know?
No, nothing really new. I was just, like I had brought up in class, that Ethiopia and Libya had signed those agreements with Russia. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, big time. That was very interesting. We have a lot of, it's a lot of stuff going on. You know, everybody is watching. Like I said, a lot of people don't know prophecy, but it's okay because we, you know, and if we can help the Israelites to know what's going on, that's our job because we all a family and we got to move in the right direction. You know, my thing is when we bring something up, verify, you know, because as we do what we're doing today, we really don't know. They all working together anyway, no matter whether they seem like they are at odds with each other or they fighting with each other. This thing is moving according to Yah's word and only his word. You know?
Uh-huh,
so,
that's true.
Whatever decision they make, he's making them make that decision. You know, and we're moving in that direction. You know, so it's, you know, we just have to watch it. We can't really determine one way or the other what it's going to be. We just got to watch as well as pray and do what we need to do.
Right.
But,
well, you know, American journalist just got killed over there.
In Russia?
Over in Ukraine, yep. American, no, what do you call them? Yeah, one of them journalists or what, reporters or something like that. They just
got
killed
it.
Over there. Now. Hmm?
I got it right here. Wow. They said an hour ago. Hold on, let me see if I can play this for you. Hold on just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you guys to be able to hear it. You think that's going to be an act of war?
Well, I don't think Biden bold enough to do anything about it, but, I mean, it's going to start some stuff.
Wow, I didn't know that. I just, you know, I had just stopped watching it for a while because it was the same stuff. You know, every time I watched it, they hours away from being going into the capital of Kyiv. I'm like, they've been like that for a week. But let me say what happened. Hold on a second.
West casualty in this war, police there say American journalist Brent Renaud was killed by Russian forces in Irpin. CNN's Scott McLean joining me now live from Lviv and CNN Chief International Correspondent Clarissa Ward is live for us in Kyiv. Scott, to you first, the base is just 11 miles from the border. In fact, instead, I'm going to go to you, Clarissa. We'll try to reestablish our connection with Scott in a moment. But, Clarissa, what more are you learning from where you are? And I do want to ask you about the area of Irpin, where the American journalist was killed. That was an area where we saw you showing us refugees who were crowding under the bridge, finding escape.
That's right, Frederica. I mean, this is an area where a lot of international journalists and Ukrainian journalists have been spending a good deal of time, because it was the place here in the city where you could see that sort of tide of humanity flooding in from some of these hardest hit suburbs, that suburb of Irpin. We were just there a couple of days ago. From what we understand, U.S. journalist Brent Renaud and also another photographer, Juan Arredondo, were in Irpin today covering this story and came under heavy fire. Brent, as we know, was killed very tragically. Juan appears to be okay. He's in the hospital getting treated for some kind of a gunshot injury. All of this underscoring the tremendous danger of covering this story, but more importantly, I think, underscoring the fact that Ukrainian civilians are constantly facing multiple types of targeting.
I want to bring in one of Brent's friends, his longtime friend, Christoph Putzel. I believe we have you on Skype. Christoph, thank you for coming on. I'm very, very sorry for your loss, and I'm glad you can be here and tell us a bit about Brent. How did you find out about his death? What have you learned so far today, Christoph?
I woke up this morning to the news that Brent's longtime best friend, incredible colleague, the best war journalist I think ever existed, finding out about his passing. You know, Brent had this ability to go anywhere, get any story, listen and communicate what was happening to people that otherwise wouldn't otherwise see it. And it is a devastating loss to journalism today.
What do you know about what he was doing with his colleagues in Ukraine? Was he working on a documentary?
Yeah, he was working on a documentary about refugees. It was a story he was doing around the world. And when the crisis in Ukraine happened, Brent was on the plane the next day. And he was covering a story about refugees coming out of Kyiv into Poland, and that's what we know.
I remember you worked with him. You worked with him on multiple projects, but I remember one about Occupy Wall Street like a decade ago. So, you know, Brent was working on projects for the New York Times, for Vice, for others. What stands out to you most about his style of journalism and filmmaking? What made him so special?
Yeah, I mean, Brent just, as I said, we won a DuPont together about 10 years ago for a story we did in Mexico about guns being smuggled from the U.S. Across the border. And what I said at the time when we accepted our award was, the only thing bigger than Brent's balls are his heart. And I stand by that. That's what kind of journalist he was. He could get into any location. He had this ability just to blend in wherever he was, you know, where I'd be stopped at the border. Like, Brent could just want to do DuPont for me for the story in Mexico. He did.
Okay, so they done shot down one of the journalists, American journalists. I wonder what that's going to mean.
I wonder. Normally when stuff like that happens, there's a big condemnation of the country where the guy was from and all that stuff. But they ain't said nothing. I don't think they're going to say anything, which is emboldening Putin because he knows they ain't going to do nothing.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot going on. I mean, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot. It happens every day, though, but that's a lot. That is really a lot going on. I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it's a job that you take. You know, I wouldn't be in a war zone. That's why my daughter was saying that they were offering nurses $25 an hour. No, $25,000 a week to come over there and to provide resources for them during the war zone. I said, but not for you to go over there, because They're telling all Americans to come out of there. So you'll be over there basically at your own expense.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably can't even get over there.
No, you probably can't get in there.
I'm sorry, say again.
I said you probably can't get in there because they got everything blocked and cut
yeah.
off.
Yeah, they do. They really do. They really, really do. That is crazy. But it happens. It happens for real. You know, but I, like I said, you know, it's a very solemn time, you know, and it's very, it's unique that we're alive to see this kind of stuff happening because just all of a sudden, everything is about Russia, 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 Russia. You know, and it's like sometimes, you know, I had just taken a break from it because I watch it a lot, you know, and you have to just do something else sometimes. You know, so I didn't even know anything about that. I think it's terrible. You know, I think that's terrible.
No, I just saw it today when I came back inside. I was outside. You know, check my garden. Like I told you, I got everything going good this year, finally.
Wonderful. Wait.
Yes, I'm sending you some pictures today. I got the soil all built up. It's nice and soft.
I've been waiting on my pecans. I really.
Well, I still got them here. You know, they don't go bad. I still got them here at the house.
Okay.
I got everything out there broke up and good. It looks a hell of a lot better than it did last year.
Okay. That's what it means.
You know,
that's a blessing.
I started all my little plants on the inside of the house this year instead of buying them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a big old little greenery going over here in the house, and they're actually growing. They look pretty good.
All praises. That's what we need. That is exactly what we need. I think it's great. You know, I really do. I think it's great. I'm hoping we don't need them, that we ain't going to be here too much longer. But the fact that you have it is a blessing just in case we do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah because it is truly a blessing. You know, it's a lot. Sometimes, Brother Rashlam, it's a lot. You know, we've been waiting for a long time, and, you know, we're still waiting on y'all because that never changes, and that's not going to stop, you know. And you know, sometimes you have to just sit back and take a breath. It's like, boy, you know, because I think what it is everybody realizing this is really getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is really getting ready to happen, you know, and as much as we say we ready, here we go, you know, ready or not, do we here now, you know, so. Yes, and I think watching Ukraine and watching the Ukrainian people walk away from their lives like they did, you know, just walked away from everything, they didn't have a choice, and, you know, I think that's the thing that we have to understand, too, we're not going to have a choice either. You know, we're not going to have a choice. It's going to be very interesting to watch this, you know, because they left everything. The man said, we left everything. He said, well, where's the apartment? He said, there is no more apartment. Everything's gone. And remember, we used to always talk about what they're going to do with all our things and what's going to happen when we walk away. They left cars. They left everything.
Yeah, houses. Photo albums, everything, they left it.
They left them. They ain't had no choice. You know, they ain't had no choice.
Because they were put in a position where they had no choice. But what about us if we just told to leave? I just wonder sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think we're going to be okay. I mean, I know we're going to be okay with y'all. I know we're going to be okay with y'all. You know, we just have to be able to understand that this is getting ready to change because he said it was. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that we are truly his people and he is truly coming to get us. He is truly. And it's like everything else. You know, we talked about 400 years and the 400 years and the 400 years. And then it was here one day. You know?
Yeah.
And we did it, and then it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the closer we see this, the more we realize that this is going to happen again. You know. So I think it's a blessing. I really do. I think it's truly a blessing. All praises be to Yah. And we're going to get through it. We really are going to get through it. And you know, and then the thing about it is, you know, we have a lot of people coming to our class and new people, and we welcome everybody, you know. And I think for me, I have to understand, you know, that the closer we get, more people are going to be coming, and people are going to be coming back, you know, because they leave and come back and leave back and leave and come back, and they come with a lot of back. They come with a lot of background. They do.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot. It really does. It takes a lot. I have been in constant prayer. Please keep me in your prayers. Because it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of understanding. It takes a lot because these people have been caught up in all kinds of things.
Oh, I can imagine.
They have. You know, and it's a lot to have to deal with it sometimes, but, you know, he gives us the grace. He got to give us grace, you know, to be able to do it. You know, because we just, you know, everybody has their own issues, you know, and stuff. But, you know, we'll get through it one day at a time, one step at a time. Because we family at the end of the day. And we have, and something, one thing I thought about was the scripture that we was reading yesterday when it was talking about the Most High was, there would be no more Canaanites, you know? And I'm like, the Canaanites do live among us.
Right now, over here, right?
Yeah, all over the world. They're not just over here. They're all over the world. They're all over the world. You know, and they're black people, and they live among us. That's why I kept saying, you know, all our skin folk, it's not our kinfolk, you
right.
know, and it's just not, even though, and I have my suspicions as to who they are, you know, I probably will never say it out loud, but I have my suspicions as to who they are, you know, but I was just like, wow, this is really something to know, that because Israel didn't get rid of them like he told them to, they have mingled among us.
Uh-huh. Because they were the ones we were supposed to kill every man, woman, and child, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, we were. I'm like, wow. And we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. And as a result of us not doing it, they have mingled themselves among us. And, you know, it's just, it's going to be very interesting to see what this is going to end up being. You know, it'll be very interesting to see. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's gonna be something. But you know, I wanted to share something with you guys. I learned something last night, and I was putting it all together. And I'm going to find the scripture right now. I mean, the YouTube clip right now, because I don't want to play the whole thing. But do you know, anybody know who Charlotte, North Carolina was named after?
Charlotte,
anybody?
North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. Don't Google it, because if you can't answer it, somebody can't push one right now, I'm not going to open up the mic. I don't want you to Google it. I just want you to just, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you.
No, I don't know.
I was watching a program the other day. Matter of fact, it was the story of Harry and Meghan on YouTube, and I was watching a story. And at the end of the story, they did it was a little play in the story where Queen Elizabeth took Meghan out in the hallway of Buckingham Palace and showed her a picture of a black girl. And she said, I have African-American people in my family as well. Well, come to find out, Queen Charlotte was black.
Huh.
And Queen Charlotte was named, they named Charlotte, North Carolina, after Queen Charlotte. And I was like, I didn't know that.
And
she married King George III. She was 17 years old. She was German, but she was black. And she married King George III, and he bought Buckingham Palace for her.
Wow.
I was like,
wow.
When you think of it, they had 15 children and 13 children lived.
That's a lot of kids.
Yes, yes. And I was like, because I did the research, people say stuff on there. And there's a program on, I think it's on Netflix, called Bridgerton. And this show is about Queen Charlotte. And it's about a black queen. And she was the Queen of England.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. That's interesting.
You know, and I'm looking like, wow, these are things that you never know. You know, they claim she was mulatto. But when I started doing the research, they painted her as though she was of mixed race, which they said she was. But they said her skin was dark. She had dark skin and she had a wide nose. But because they were putting her portrait among her European family, they made her look more European than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I really did not know that. Yeah. This girl was black. Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a lot of other stuff we don't know. They're going to probably wind up popping up. We probably got more people out here that's running stuff than we think.
Absolutely. And you know what made me think about that was because remember when we were talking the other day, somebody said, I believe when we gather together, there are going to be more people with us that are of white ancestry, that look white, that are really Israelite, that are really Israel. But, yeah. I'm going to play this for you. Hold on just one second. I'm going to see if we can bring this up. Let me get a second here and make sure we can get it together because I don't want to be a commercial. Okay, here we go. Check this out.
Before Meghan Markle, the late 18th century, Queen Sophia Charlotte of Mecklenburg-Strelitz may have been the country's first biracial royal. So, who exactly was Queen Charlotte? Here are five things to know about the British royal. She might have been chosen to be George III's bride. The queen, who lived from 1744 to 1818, was the eighth child, also the youngest daughter, of Duke Charles Louis Frederick and Duchess Elizabeth Albertine. At age 17, she traveled from Germany to England to marry George III, and it's likely that George III's mother had chosen her to marry him. She had 15 children, 13 survived childhood. After Queen Charlotte married George III in 1761, she gave birth to 15 children. Being almost constantly pregnant weighed on her.
I don't think a prisoner could wish more ardently for his liberty than I wish to be rid of my burden and see the end of my campaign. I would be happy if I knew this was the last time.
She wrote in 1780 about her pregnancy with her 14th child, Prince Alfred. Prince Alfred only lived 2 years. He became ill after receiving an inoculation against the smallpox virus and died in 1782. Soon after, Prince Octavius, who was 19 months Prince Alfred Sr., also died of smallpox in 1783. The Queen took their deaths hard. Queen Charlotte supported famous classical composers. The German composer, Johann Christian Bach, considered Queen Charlotte a friend and supporter. She even helped him get the position of state musician for George III, following George Frederick Handel.
So let me say this. Not only was she familiar with Bach, but they said she was the one who actually promoted Mozart when he was a little boy.
Wow.
crucial. Yes. Yes, indeed. She sure did. And I was like, Charlotte, North Carolina? They said, yes, she was the queen. They considered that to be the queen city and that they named that city after her. I said, I did not know that. I mean, you know, it's just the stuff you just don't know. Because when we talk about Black history, you really don't, you don't know a whole lot about it. You know,
nope,
and this is something you do. They said the king bought Buckingham Palace for her. That was her house. And, you know, just it's just amazing. And so when we watched the wedding of Meghan and Harry, Prince Harry, they actually got married on her birthday, which was May the 19th. They got married at St. George's Chapel, which is where she's buried. They lived in Frogmore Cottage, which is one of her houses. And what else was it? I can't remember. It was one more thing that they did that was her. So all this was to promote her, and nobody ever said anything.
Nope.
They never said anything. But, yes, there was a black woman that was a queen, and, yes, she was a royal, and, yes, she was in England. All that did happen. So I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to bring that out, you know, because, you know, nobody ever talks about it. You know, it's just like the black people in Russia. You never see them. Even with all the stuff going on TV now, have you seen one black Russian soldier?
No, I haven't.
One black Ukrainian soldier?
Not one.
And I know we scattered to the four corners of the earth. You haven't even seen one.
And there got to be some over there.
We everywhere. But they never show it. They never show it. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we had black royals in the time when we was in slavery, in the time when we was being traded, she was sitting on the throne in England. Ain't that something? I was stunned. I never knew that. I have never heard of her. I've never seen it before. Never. She was there. Her name was Queen Charlotte. So, and they said that, you know, that Queen Elizabeth, you know, she knew about her heritage because that was on her father's side. That was the lineage of her father. Yep. Yep. Interesting stuff. I mean, you'd be surprised what we're going to find out when this thing is all over with.
Yeah, that's going to be so much information revealed. Our head's probably going to blow up.
You'd be surprised how much information. Hold on, let me open up the area code 717. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, was Queen Charlotte, was she Shem or Ham?
Well, you know, that's a really good question because they said she was biracial. I'm not quite sure, you know, where her. Well, they said she was a Moor. So, not quite sure, sis. I don't know.
Were the Moors Israelites? Some camps are saying the Moors were Israelites. They were in Europe. I don't know if that's true. Do you think so?
I have no idea. I wish I could say something. I wish I knew. I really don't know.
Some of the Moors were Israel that lived over in the Moors. Because if you look at the names, like I was looking at one guy, it was something Ibn Dawood, and he was a Moor, but he was also an Israelite.
Well, let me see, because I have a little clipping here. Hold on, let me see what they say, and I'm just going to play a little bit of this because this is kind of long, but I'm going to give you a little bit more information. Here we go.
down to the royal family today. Also, interestingly, Prince Harry and Meghan got married on May 19th. There are four examples that I want to share with you that I consider to be kind of coincidences. I don't know if they're coincidences or if it was on purpose. But number one, they got married on her birthday. Number two, they got married at St. George's Chapel, and that's where Queen Charlotte is buried. Number three, Meghan and Harry moved into a country home called Frogmore, and Frogmore was one of Queen Charlotte's favorite places in the country to live. She built a huge garden there, and that was one of her favorite places. And Harry and Meghan, before they decided to move to America, they invested a lot of money into Frogmore. And the fourth example of connection is that Meghan and Prince Harry were given the titles Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Now, I don't know whether they're going to be able to keep the title. There's lots to talk about back and forth whether they will or not. But it was King George III and Charlotte's son, Frederick Augustus, who was the first Duke of Sussex. So the title literally came from one of Charlotte's sons. So those are four examples. I think that Prince Harry and Meghan, I don't think it's all coincidence, the wedding day, moving in Frogmore. I'm not sure, but everyone can make their own decision. Next slide, please.
Okay, so wait, hold on, let me
when
stop
Charlotte-
that one. But yeah, that was that one. Hold on, I want to bring you to the point about Buckingham Palace. Okay, here we go.
The royal matter, the marriage, King George was coronated. We're actually going back one. Yeah, there we go. And after they got married, there was some talk, of course, before the marriage and after the marriage about the queen. One of the members of the court said she had a mulatto face, and someone else said that she had a wide nose and thick lips. And so the question of her mixed race heritage would still come up from time to time. But when she got to England, when King George, or Prince George at the time, before he became king, when he met her, it was love at first sight. And according to the records, within 24 hours, they were married. And it was done. And within the first year or so of their marriage, King George went out and purchased Buckingham Palace for Queen Charlotte. So the subsequent royal families that have lived in Buckingham Palace, I like to tease and say, uh-huh, they were living in Charlotte's house, in the sister's house.
All right, y'all. I just never knew that. I'm fast-forwarding to some more information because about Charlotte, North Carolina. Hold on, here we go.
Young people, young women and young men, they need to know the importance of having social responsibility when you're in power, that it's not enough to just be the queen, be the king, and have all the power. That's okay. We can go to that slide. That's fine. It's also important to stand for something. So here in America, we have a number of communities that are named for her. Charlottesville, Virginia. I wonder whether those protesters there in Charlottesville knew that they were in a city named for a queen who had a mixed race heritage. Of course, your city, Charlotte County, Florida, Queen Charlotte Track in New Zealand, Camp Charlotte, Ohio. And in our book, you will see many other cities around the world that are also were named for her. So she is remembered in that way. Next slide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's pretty much, you know, they go into a lot of other things. But I just thought that was really interesting. I've never heard of her, ever. Never. Never heard of her, ever. Hold on a minute, Erico. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, when you look at what the Most High told us about our lineage, we was kicked out. We was kicked out of the land. That means that we's under the curse. So we have the tail. We not the head. So them Edomites, they can't be Israelites. Not with no wealth. The Moors can't be Israelites. We are under the curse.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
so you see, if you see anybody, if you see anybody with some money, it's an Edomite.
You think so?
That's how you write the Bible.
Okay, but what about, wait a minute, so what about the people that are doctors and lawyers, because we have doctors and lawyers on our call right now that are Israelites. So they have money, but you know, they're not poor and destined. They went to school to become doctors.
Well, look at the country. Whenever they went into Egypt, he called the family in the land of Egypt. All of Jacob's kids went to Egypt. He didn't leave none. When he kicked them out, he left all of them. So the curses apply to all of them. So that's something that happened. Look at it. Because that's, you got to wait against the curses.
That's interesting. Let me ask this question. Like he said, I don't agree with that. I think because, excuse me, even though we're still under the same curse, there are people that have gone to college and become doctors. There are people that have gone to school to become lawyers. There are people that are business people. The Most High got to have people in every arena. You know, it doesn't mean that they're not Israel because they're living a certain life. I don't believe that, because I lived a certain life before everything went crazy. I had enough money to live in a neighborhood where people were very wealthy and rich. And I know I'm an Israelite, so that can't be true. He has to have people in every walk of life. There are people on this call that are real estate agents that's making buku money. They're making money hand over fist. It doesn't mean they're not being affected by the curse. Everybody that's Israel is not, we're still under the bottom no matter how much money we make. Somebody is over us. Somebody holds a license to what you're doing, controlling your business license, something. So I can't say that because people are wealthy, they not Israel. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Somebody tell me, somebody please want and say something about that one. Brother Yerushalayim, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I just don't see it having nothing to do with money. I mean, I don't. Just because they got money, I don't see that. I mean, there are other curses. I don't know. I that's not one I can get into.
I mean, because you made decent money in your lifetime.
Yeah, I have.
So I mean, that doesn't mean that you're not Israel because you have prepared yourself and went to school and got an education. And no matter what we do, we still not running nothing. We still on the bottom.
And I found that out the hard way. No matter, it's like you said, you can make all this money as a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, but you still up under these curses. You still suffering.
Yeah. Now, what he's saying, though, I think that if she was a queen, though, and she was over England, and we weren't to be ruling, she couldn't be Israel. But then look at this, though. Okay, Brother Leonard, let me just hear me out, and I'm going to open up your mic back up, and Brother, hear me out. What about Daniel? Because our people were in captivity when they went into Babylon, and Daniel was the right-hand man next to the king. Look at, what about Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery, and he was second in command from Pharaoh. So he was looted. He had money, and they bowed to him. So these things were left on record, I think, to let us know that the Most High is sovereign, and he puts people where he needs them to be. Now, I'm not saying she was or she wasn't. I don't know. You know, but I know that I've met people that were Moors that said they were Israel. So I don't know. Let me ask you. So what do you think about that, Brother Leonard?
So it goes back to another situation. Either Most High, what he's saying is true or it ain't. When you see the lady you're talking about, Charlotte, how did she become mulatto? How did she become mulatto? It couldn't have been a black man fathered her. It's an Edomite fathered her. So she's Edomite.
Well,
she's
Edomite. You look at, yeah.
Well,
that's true. That's true. You're right. If she was fathered by a European, that's true.
So we go back to the money. Okay, like for instance, Josephus. You got so many Israelites weighing out Josephus. He's an Edomite. He's not an Israelite. So you use all that information in the Moses because he's Edomite. I mean, Nehemiah told him, Nehemiah said, you have nothing to do with Israel. When they tried to come and help him rebuild the temple, he said, you Edomites have nothing to do with Israel, not the knowledge, not nothing. So anything he had to say, he got scrapped.
Well, I mean that's true to a point too, but I mean but even today when you have your Bibles and all your stuff, they still running all of that today. They running it all. They running all of
what?
It. Every
what?
Book we read, everything we printed, so I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we just, and like I said, the curse is we still under it. There's nothing we can do about it because they're controlling it because we live in their society.
I'm still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so back to what you said about Joseph and them. Joseph and them, Moses sung, the cases that we under right now, Moses sung a song in Deuteronomy 32 that didn't apply to the men before him. You know what I'm saying? So when Moses sung that song, they had kept Joseph and all them and Jacob and all their sons that died out. So the curses that happened didn't apply to them. Moses said when he sung that song, he says at the end of his lifetime or whatever, you know, that was gonna come upon them. That's where we are right now. Now, what you can look at is the fact that that you're coming out of the curse. So you can say, yeah, it's like with some money now because we're on our way out of the curse. But up until back with Josephus and all them people, King James, all them, and the Moors, I'm like,
I don't know. I have to give that some thought. Hold on a minute. Area code 614, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I thought about Esther. Wasn't she an Israelite and became a queen?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. She certainly was. And married Xerxes. Yes, she did. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's real talk. She really was. And that's another area of royalty. And, you know, you just never know what Yah is doing. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he's sovereign. He does what he wants when he wants to. And, yes, Esther was a queen. And yes, she married the head of Iran. And yes, absolutely, Persia. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. So that's a good example. Hold on. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I hear what Brother Leonard's saying, but I actually think that there are a couple of things to consider. One is that we talk about the individual as opposed to the group. Just because one individual seems to have some privilege doesn't mean that they are not going to be subject to what the other group is. It may be that it may not affect them directly. It may affect those around them. It may be that it's something that just hangs over their head. It's just as the sister said with Esther. Esther was in a position of privilege, but as Mordecai told her, you're no different from us because if this happens to us, it will happen to you too. So even though she was in a position of privilege, she was still subject to what the larger group was subject to, even though her privilege shielded her to a certain extent and actually gave her access. And so as her uncle Mordecai told her, maybe it's that you were born for such a time as this. And one of the things, too, is we talk about relative deprivation. So how I feel is really determined in relation to who I'm judging myself against. So if we're looking at the people in the United States, I've often heard it said that we are better off than so many people who are in other places that are, quote-unquote, impoverished. If that's the case, then people could say that you can't be Israelites because you're living so much better than other people that are not Israelites or who are identified as Israelites. We know that they're Israelites because they're in poverty. You have a lot of people here. They have all kinds of things that in other places would be considered affluent. So you're not, it just depends on where you are and who you're comparing yourself against with regard to wealth. Also, there are people who are in positions of privilege. It does not shield them from the things that happen in the society. They can have members who are killed. They can also be very affluent and still have to struggle more to get and maintain what it is that they have. They're always having to look over their shoulder because they don't know when it will be that who they are is going to impact what they have. And so they don't have that security. They don't have the luxury of saying, I'm privileged regardless. They have to say it's always with a caveat, and that caveat is because they are an Israelite. And so we can, and also my understanding is that when we talk about quote-unquote curses that we see in Deuteronomy 28, they have unfolded over time. So it wasn't that immediately when we were sitting in Spain and then Portugal that we were being impacted to the extent that we were impacted later on. It says these things unfold over time. And actually in Scripture it says if you don't obey, these things will overtake you. It's similarly said that if we obey and do with the laws and the statutes, and we live in accordance with the laws and statutes and commandments, that these blessings will overtake you. And that's the offset. And it really goes to the principle where the Most High, when he puts his word out, it cannot change. It's a law. We see that in Esther. When that edict went out that everybody was going to be, all Israelites were going to be killed on a certain day, the king says, I've spoken. My word can't be undone. But what I can do is I can say, but you have the right to defend yourself. And so
right.
that offset what he had said. It didn't change it. It offset it. It's the same thing. We have these curses. To the extent that you obey, you can start to have those blessings overtake you. But that's an unfolding. Just like the curses were an unfolding, the blessings are an unfolding. And so we're seeing the reverse of that. So the more that we as a nation start to obey, we start to realize the benefits of the blessings, because those blessings will overtake the curses. And yet he says, this will be a mark on you forever. So.
True. That's true. I mean, that's very, very true. And you got people from all, y'all have to have people in all walks of life. Everybody is not, you know, he has people on all social levels, all walks of life. Like you said, it doesn't matter where you are. You're still going to experience what you have to experience where you are. And it brings me to the test that we had in the women's call, and we brought in different men from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different walks of life, and we interviewed them about different things. And we had one particular gentleman that was very well educated. He had been to college. He had all kind of degrees. He had been in the military, out of the military as an officer. He's done all those things and still struggling to get to the table. And he felt like, I have a right to have a seat at the table. But there was still resistance there that he felt as a black man keeping him from getting those things. So, and he was already looted. He has a beautiful home, beautiful family, beautiful job, you know, living what they consider to be the American dream. But is he Israel? Absolutely he is. But the fact of the matter is, where he's trying to go, he is struggling to go because it is just the way things are. And you could, and the pain was there. So I think y'all has people in all walks of life that have, you know, that come from all kinds of backgrounds, and the struggle is still the same. You, like I said, somebody holds the license. Somebody is in control of something, whether or not they allow you to have the job or you don't have it, whatever it is, somebody's there to make sure, whether you call it white privilege or whatever you call it, y'all put those things in place to make sure that you understand that you are going to stay where you are until he changes it. And from what I read. So, you know, I have to go with that. You know, so I kind of believe that, you know, now whether she's an Israelite or not, I don't know. I don't know how that works. You know, they did say her father was European. They just weren't sure who her mother was, so, or how she came about. So, you know, I don't know if she was, you know, whether she was a Moor or whatever it was, but they did say that her father was European. So, you know, according to Numbers chapter 1, the lineage and the pedigree goes to the seed of the father. So we know that she wasn't Israel, but she had the features of a black girl. You know, and you know, You know, today everybody's saying, oh, we're biracial, we're bi. No, whatever your father is, that's what you are according to the scriptures. There's no such thing as biracial as far as Yah is concerned. Whatever your father is, that's what you are. You know, and that's another thing that we have been taught, you know, in where we are now, that, you know, you can either be both. Well, I'm African-American today. I'm this, just like Jesse Smollett. I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but when he was being sentenced, he played the Jew card. He said, I'm a Jew. And his grandmother, from what I heard, came and testified on his behalf. So, I mean, you know, that where we are in this society, the way they have things set up now, you can be biracial. You can either be one or the other. But according to what the Bible says, Numbers chapter 1, the lineage and the pedigree goes through the seed of the father. Good talk. I mean, you know, but I think that's you know, that's very interesting, you know, to have to see. Hold on, Brother Leonard, what you think about all that?
Well, like I was saying before, when you mentioned Esther, Joseph, and all them, those curses that we're under right now didn't apply to them. Curses in Deuteronomy 28 caught up with us when we were kicked out of the land. Then the curses came on us. You know, then in Deuteronomy 68 came and overtook us on the west coast of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that implied, like when Abraham went down to Amalek, and Amalek made him rich. That those curses didn't apply to Abraham. The curses came in effect when Moses sung that song in Deuteronomy 32. And then he told them, he prophesied to him. He said, when I pass away, you're gonna go home and after other gods, you're gonna leave the Lord of hosts. And
right.
Then these curses gonna come on. So those curses don't apply to us and all this.
Right.
Right.
So do you think that because we were under those curses that we shouldn't have doctors and lawyers and stuff like that now?
Well, the thing about that is, like I said, is we coming at the end, so you can kind of, you know, tally that in because we coming out of the curses. The curses being... Church being flipped over on the Gentiles, so you can see that. But that's the reason we're in the predicament we're in, because like the Pulak, you know, we got their knowledge. The Mosai told us don't deal with their knowledge, but we going to their school, getting their education, and that education that we receive from their school has nothing to do with the talk. And that's the problem.
Okay.
It's all fine and dandy to be educated, but it's knowledge that's coming forth, and you can't receive it. He said, in the last day, I'm going to put my spirit out, his spirit out of him, then you're going to get it. You can't get it. You pull a whole bunch of Edomite or European knowledge. How you going to receive it from that? You can't. Unless the Most High put his spirit on it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. That's what I'm dealing with.
Okay, well, thank you for your comment. I mean, you know, it's just, that's just one of the situations where, you know, I don't know, you know, I just don't know, you know, but it is a situation where we see a lot of people that are of mixed race, because they said that his father is Ashkenazi Jewish with ancestors from Romania, Russia, and Poland, and his mother is African-American, and there's a lot of that going around, and that probably was her lineage, well, because she was from Germany. Charlotte was from Germany. You know, she really was. She was German. She didn't even speak English. You know? Let me see who her parents were. her father was Duke Charles Louis Frederick of Mecklenburg, and her mother was Princess Elizabeth Albertine of Saxe-Hildburg. So, you know, she was German. She was definitely of German descent. Hildeberg Hodgson. So yeah, I mean, you know. But she was royal. She, you know, but like you said, Esther was too. Esther lived. And she was in office. I mean, she was on the throne when we went into slavery. But, you know, the thing about it is that she has African features. And, you know, when you see her, she kind of, if you find a picture of her that looks black, she does have features. But when they started writing everything up, they were saying that her skin was dark and she had a wide nose. And, I mean, you would just never know. I just thought it was interesting because I had never heard of her before. You know, I thought it was interesting. But as far as social status and education and all that, I think we have people from all walks of life, you know, because we've been able to make more money in this day and time than we were ever able to do, you know, when I was coming up and was younger, because there was only certain jobs you could get. Now, you know, as time progressed, you had doctors and pediatricians and, you know, all kinds of professional engineers and all kind of stuff, you know, that it allowed for us as people to be able to have, and you went to school so you could compete to have those jobs. It just is what it was, you know. You know, from what I've seen, you know, because I have a lot of professional people in my family. You know, we had a senator at one time, but he's passed away now. You know, but we have all kinds of people in our family, all kinds from all walks of life, right down to the criminal. They all there. So, I mean, you know.
I'm the same way. I think that's all of us.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, no shame in it. It is what it is. I mean, really. You know, we had it all. We had hustlers, we had criminals, we had all kind of stuff. You know, but back in the day, I remember when my uncle took my aunt to Japan when I was a little bitty girl back in the day, just on vacation. And she came back dressed like a Geechee woman. She had the whole garment on. And, you know, we watched movies of them being, that was a big deal for us back then in the 60s. You know, but that's what they did. You know, they had the money to be able to live like that. That's what they did. You know. My grandmother's aunt and stuff, they paid cash for their houses back then. You know, my grandmother's mother's brother owned his own gas station back then. So I don't believe that we weren't able to have those things because we are very resourceful people. We have always learned how to hustle. We did what we needed to do. But even back then, they had that kind of stuff. And from what my mom told me, it wasn't no little gas station either. He had one of them gas stations with like 3 and 4 pumps on each side and rows of stuff jumping off. So it wasn't, you know, we always was able to have stuff. I mean, because we were resourceful people. Like the guy said, we could make lemonade out of lemon peels if necessary. We did what we had to do. And then when education opened up to us and we were able to get an education, you know, we went to school and got an education, which afforded us to live a little better than they did. So, you know, that's the reality. I mean, that's the real stuff. You know, so, I mean, you know, it being the I think that when the Most High said he was going to be a little sanctuary for us, that was a lot. That was a small doorway that opened up for us to be able to have some of the things that we have today.
It's not about the stuff. It's not about the money. It's also relative.
It's about the achievements that we've made as a people. And what he was saying was that by us being under the curse, the people that were under the curse weren't in a position to be at certain levels. And you know what I'm saying? We're at every level.
That's true. And subject, regardless of what level you're at. You know, my grandfather came over from Haiti. My family name is the name of one of the, I'm sure we related to one of the presidents like the second president of Haiti. And yet, when he came here, and we know how he came here, when he came here and he had a family, he disappeared off of the rolls. Some people in our family had been lynched. We have a lot of successful people in our family.
Yeah.
We have people that own stuff. Believe me, people in my family, they think that it's nothing to take two vacations abroad a year. That's normal. There are other people who don't do that. And yet, it hasn't shielded our family. One of the things we have done, to the best of our ability, I realize, is that we have followed those law, statutes, and commandments. But in our ignorance, there were a lot of things that we violated, but it did not protect us. It did not protect my son, and believe you me, if that were the case, it should have protected him. Also, I'm thinking about Esther. I've actually been studying with my cousins. When we were reading in Esther, and we were reading the Apocrypha, and I just want to read what she says. This is one of the letters. This is the addition to the book of Esther, it says, and this is her letter. She's praying to the Most High. Put eloquent speech in my mouth before this lion and change his heart to hate the man who is fighting against us so that there may be an end of him. She's talking about Haman and those who support him. But save us by your hand and help us to stand alone and have no one but you, Most High, who knows everything. And you know that I hate the splendor of the wicked and I abhor the bed of the uncircumcised and of any alien. You know what I am forced to do. So she's saying, I'm in this position of power. I'm the queen, and yet I hate what it is that I have to do. But she's there for a reason. She says, I abhor what I'm forced to do. I abhor the symbol of my proud position, which is placed upon my head on the day that I must appear in public. I abhor it like a filthy rag and never wear it in private. Your slave has not eaten at Haman's table, and I have not honored the king's feast or drunk the wine of the libation. Your slave has no joy from the day I was brought here until now, except in you, Lord, God of Abraham. O Yah, whose might is over all, hear the voice of the despairing and save us from the hand of the evildoers and save me from what I fear. She was in a position of power. She had luxury. She had access. And yet the very things that were tormenting her people who didn't have all those things were a torment to her. And she says, look, I do all of these things. And part of her privilege, I think, was because just like the Hebrew boys who said, we will not eat of you at your table. We want to have the things that we're supposed to eat. She's saying, I haven't contaminated myself. I have done to the best of my ability. I have followed those laws, those statutes and commandments that I know. And yet I'm here petitioning you to save not only me, but my people. Having stuff and being in a position of a power, it does not shield you from what's happening. As I said, you would think that would do it. As I said, when my great-great-grandfather came over, he should have been able to have some shield, but yet we see people in our family who have been lynched. I mean, some of the famous lynchings, too. I'm thinking, this is crazy. It doesn't shield us. My sister, she was an attorney for a city in California. We used to take my son, and she would take my son, who was the only grandchild at that time, and she would put him in her seat looking out over the city and just let him look over the city to get him accustomed to being in that position. He would just be a child going up and down the halls in the city, and yet it did not protect him. I'm saying, as an Israelite, as someone who supposedly has had access to things that should protect you, it doesn't. We're subject like everybody else. I'm subject like everybody else. That was my only child, and sometimes I say, Father, why? But yet and still I know that I'm not exempt. The person who has nothing is not exempt. People who have far more than I'm not exempt. People who it just doesn't matter. And education, it gives you the ability to actually see things and maybe have a perspective on things that will allow you to better counteract it or at least understand what's going on. But it's not a shield. We all, in this captivity, are subject
to... That's what he was saying in the beginning, is that that's what it was. It was a situation where, you know, by us being under the curse, that he was supposed to be able to do that. And it's not. I mean, all of us on the line have had those experiences one way or the other. And we somewhere in it, you feel the pain and the pressure, period. It's there, no matter what it is. Somewhere in there, you feel the pressure, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much education you have, no matter what your status is, We are still under the curse that the Most High put us under. But we still there. And like I heard Al Sharpton say at one time, if it wasn't for us being in the position that we were in, they wouldn't even read your application that you put in because they was eventually they was throwing them in the garbage. So even those people were put in a position to be able to pass certain laws so that we would have a chance to get a job because at one point we weren't even allowed to be there. Legislation was passed so that, you know, we would be able to be a part of the workforce. And that they would have to hire affirmative action. You had to hire so many black people. So the Most High has done things. That's why I said about the small sanctuary, he has been a small sanctuary, and he has done things to allow us to be where we are. It still hasn't changed the fact that we're not on top. We're just not. We're not on top. And that's just real talk. You know, and you can be a doctor, and you can be a surgeon. And you can be an attorney, and you can be a senator, and it doesn't matter. You're still not on top because you cannot be on top. You can't be on the top and on the bottom at the same time. Anybody see different? Anybody?
No, you're actually right.
You know, but it didn't stop us from making good money. It didn't stop us from having cars. It didn't stop us from our children going to private schools. It didn't stop us from doing those things. It didn't stop. We still did them, but that we've always been made to understand that we was on the bottom. That's it. I mean, real talk. And that's basically the curse. Now, as far as she is concerned, or Queen Charlotte is concerned, you know, I just thought it was amazing that she was even there in the first place because, you know, I didn't even know that this lady existed. I didn't know. You know, and some of us have the same issue. Area code 928, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say when the days of the Gentiles rule is over, the dominion is over, then we'll be on the top. But I can testify that even with education, sometimes we might be the most qualified person, but we won't get the position that we choose or that we're a good fit for because they're looking at our color. They're looking at who we are, the slave children. That they're looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. They should be looking at your qualifications in your mind. Look at the President Obama. They were still calling him monkey in front of everybody, monkey child in front of everybody. And he was the president. Now, this lady who was the judge for the Supreme Court, everybody was in the room. Well, not everybody. Not everybody, because I'll show you a story, folks. That he picked a black woman to be on Supreme Court, and it was a huge hurdle to try to get past these people that hated her for no reason. They didn't have good reason enough to hate her, but they just hated her and didn't want her to sit there.
Right, exactly. But she's there, though. You know what I'm saying? And, again, the Most High. Now, is she Israel?
Yes, she is. Her father is Israel. Her father is Israel.
As far as
I don't know what
her
mother is.
Yeah, as far
but
as
I know
we know, she's from what we know, but she's there. I mean, you know, one of the highest seats in the country. She's there in that position. So he's sovereign. He does what he wants, and he has to have people in every walk of life. Because you have, I may not be able to reach somebody that's a judge, but if he's got a judge that's Israel and they conscious, or you know what I'm saying, then they'll be able to more or less communicate to their peers. So, you know, he has everybody put in a certain position to do certain things. And you know, it doesn't mean that we're not all still under the curse. You know, that we're not all still a part of the captivity because the curse pretty much is a deal. But now we're still under the same captivity and we're still under the Gentile rule. It doesn't change that. It won't change any of that. You know, so the education and all the things, you know, it's made our life easier, but nothing is better than being home and being with the Most High and being back in the status that we're supposed to be in. But in the meantime and in the between time, we encourage everybody to do whatever they need to do to make life easy for them. Real talk. It's just real. You know, and I agree. But she's still in the office, and she's holding one of the highest offices in the land, as far as the courts is concerned. You know, and she's there. Just like the representative at the United Nations. She black. You know, she's there. You know, and so, I mean, you know, we're going to still be in positions because he strategically places everybody in the necessary positions that they need to be in so that his purpose will be done. Because this is all about his program. And yes, he's going to make it easier for us. I had it much easier than my mom had it. And my mom had it much easier than her mom had it. And so forth and so on. But that's Yah's doing, in my opinion. I mean, from what I've seen and experienced. You know, anybody else have a comment about that? You know, but I just thought it was interesting that she existed because I didn't even know anything about her because nobody ever said anything about her, you know, and that she was sitting in a position of power. Real talk, you know, so it's very interesting that the more we bring this out and the more it's understood, the more we realize that there's a lot of history that we don't know. And it's probably a lot more, I'm sure it's a lot more that we're going to learn as we go along. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. It's a lot of history that we don't know. And a lot of history that we have to be able to understand, you know, and as it came out, I thought it was very fascinating to know that because who would have knew? You know, but a lot of people have to understand that everybody that's all our skin folk is not our kin folk. They just are not. They're not. You know, they just are not. That's just the way it is. Anybody else? I'm just trying to. Okay, it says, this is Zechariah chapter 14, the one we were talking about with the Canaanites. It says, yea, every pot in Jerusalem, this is 14:21, and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Most High of Hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see if therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Most High of Hosts. So that means that some of the people that are right now involved with Israel are Canaanites.
Sure does.
They are. And I think somebody said something about, you know, the children of the fallen angels are going to be spared, and that's not true because those are some of the children of the fallen angels were the Canaanites. They had that blood in them that they were part of their descendants. So they're not going to make.
I'm not saying all the fallen angels' descendants are, but I know some of the fallen angels will be there. I don't know exactly who. I know the Canaanites. They'll be disseminated or done away with in Moab. It'll be done away with. Some other ones will be done away with. But there's going to be a remnant of the fallen angels there. That I know for sure.
Where do you get that at? I'm just curious to know where did you come up with that at? That the descendants of the fallen angels. Because that they were going,
listen,
they're going to survive. I've never read that before.
Listen, white contains all colors, including the jewels. Their descendants, they hold the colors. That's what their position is. black doesn't have any color, but white holds all the colors. If you put all the colors of the rainbow together, you're going to make white. And that's every color on earth they hold in their skin. They really do. And it's a scientific fact. It's not something I made up. It's not something that I agree with or disagree with. It's just the correct. That's the way God made them. That's the way Yah made them. Okay. Now, when I say that descendants of the fallen angels will be there, we're mixed. We're mixed. We have mixed blood. All of us have mixed blood. But if your father is Israelite, your mother could be part of the something that's going to bring about you staying because you're considered Israelite in the eyes of Yah. So when you say white, there's black people who look white, but when you look at their cells, light cannot pass through them. The light cannot pass through their certain parts of their genes or hormones and cells because they're black. And that's the differentiate. You could look at the outside and say, well, she looked this the same as this white person. But when you look at the deeper portion of their being, of their chromosomes and all this other stuff, when you're black, light cannot pass through.
Okay, wait. Hold on. No, what I asked was, where did you get the information that the fallen angel descendants were going to make it?
The Messiah was given to the Gentiles. He was given to the Gentiles, whether we know it or whether we want to, because Yah doesn't change, and he already gave his promise to Israel and to the Hebrews. When the Messiah came and he said, I have only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the fallen angels are a part of the house of Israel.
Oh, no, they're
that's
not.
All inclusive.
Hold on.
They're not true.
That's not true. Brother Leonard, you want to get in on this one?
I got in trouble about 2 years ago behind that.
No. That's not true. The fallen angels' descendants are not a part of the children of Israel. That is not true. Now, I will say this, that there are some people that may have mixed in, like the scripture says about the wheat and the tares. But no, they will not, no, they're not a part of Israel. No, they're not. Now, let me say this in all fairness. There's a difference between the Gentile, which is the European person, and the fallen angel children. That's a whole totally different mix-up. That's a totally different thing. There's a difference between the Gentile, which is Japheth's children, and Esau. It's a totally different thing. Now, do I believe that the Gentiles will make it? Yes, I do. I believe that there are some, you guys know my belief in that. I believe they've already been chosen, the ones that's going to make it. Yes, I do believe the Gentiles will make that. I do believe that they will be there. The Bible talks about Edom being destroyed. But when you talk about the fallen angels' children, no, that's the whole book of Esau. I mean, Enoch. That's what the book of Enoch was all about, was making sure that those children were destroyed. Now, did they destroy them all? No, they did not. Because as we read again, some of them were still survived because the Israelites didn't do what the Most High told them to do. It's not going to change salvation in the sense that they get a chance to be in there, and you might be right a little bit. Some of their blood might have mixed. That is true. We were all in slavery. Some people might have some European blood in them. That's a possibility. But Christ, all this, the white, the light go through the white? No. The children of Israel are the people that the Most High came for, and the Gentiles will make it. There will be other nations that will be there. I agree with you 100%. But I ain't never read nowhere where the Most High said that the descendants of the fallen angels was going to make it. I mean, if somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Because I've never read that, ever. I mean, I have never read that. Hold on 1 minute. Hold on just 1 second. Where is she? Where are you at? Area code 540. Here you go. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
I have read and studied. I'm not perfect, but the fallen, the word fallen angels, no, they will not be part of the Israelites. They will not be. You're going to have Gentiles that are going to be grafted in.
She said the children of the fallen angels. Have you ever read
the
that?
The children are not going to. No, they're out too. No, no. Anything from the fallen angels, anything that are or anyone that are the fallen angels, no, they have no part. They have already lost and gave up the state that they were in. And they're just waiting for the time to be destroyed. But as far as entering Yah's kingdom, no, they won't be there.
I was wondering, I mean, because I know I've never read it before. And I've been studying this a long time. I mean, I've never seen it in my life. And I could be wrong. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. But, you know, because I'm not, let me say this, by no means am I prejudiced, because I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. But there's a difference between the Gentile, which is Japheth's children. There's a difference between Esau, and there's a difference between the fallen angels and their children. That is just
you
so totally.
That might have came from, there was a movie called Noah, and in that movie, there's a part where it shows like the some of the fallen angels were repentant and they were helping humans. But no, that's in the movie, but that's not reality.
I was wondering. I mean, I really was wondering, because I'm like, whoa, you know. Because they were never supposed to have children. The Most High said, I didn't give the women on earth to you because you all were eternal creatures. I gave the human women to the human men so that they could procreate and have children. You were never supposed to have any children, and they were never supposed to come in to the human woman and impregnate her. That was never supposed to happen. And he said, in Enoch, you will watch your children be destroyed. From what I read, now, unless I read something else, you know, I don't know. I just don't know that. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
I've never read that.
They
you
will
know?
Be destroyed.
And you know, in all fairness, you know, I have to cut some things off, because sometimes we go into a different direction that's just not, you know, biblical, because you got to be able to prove it. You know, and we've read through these books multiple times, and I've never, ever, ever seen that. I've never seen that. Now, is the blood mixed in? Yes, you have some people that have some different blood types and all that kind of stuff. Yes, that is a possibility, but I don't know about the fallen angels' children being engrafted into the Most High's kingdom. I just don't know about that one. I don't know. Let me see what Brother Leonard got to say. Brother Leonard, what you got to say?
Yeah, the angels came down, and the thing that they seen was they mixed angelic DNA with human DNA. So
yep.
He told us in Genesis, he said in Genesis chapter 6, my spirit, the spirit that he put in Adam, is not always going to be in man. He's talking about those people. That spirit didn't come from heaven. That's in the Israelites, that's in those fallen, children of the fallen. But Abraham and all of his descendants, the Most High placed the spirit in them. It's a different spirit. So Enoch tells us that when those giants die, that spirit don't ascend. And it's still here on the earth, and it's conflicting Abraham's seed until the end, until they get judged.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I've never read that before in my entire life. I mean, you know, but I'm not against white people being delivered, because the scripture says that the Gentile, there will be some that will be grafted in. I do believe that. But the fallen angels' children, I don't think so. I've never seen that in my life. You know, I just have never seen it. And, you know, I don't even know how you would even know if you were part of the fallen angels' children. How would you know that? I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, as Yah begins to wake you up, you know, that he will deliver you from, you know, whatever it is. But I don't even know how you would know that you were a part of the fallen angels' children. I don't know. And as far as the coloring and all that kind of stuff, everybody came through the brown woman and man. Adam and Eve were brown. Everybody came through them. Everybody did. Now, in all fairness, you know, well, I ain't going to get into that. I won't even open that can of worms. I really won't do that. But even with Esau and Jacob, they came through Isaac and Rebekah. Those were brown people. And Esau came in with a different color skin. So that's, you know, that's a whole nother issue. Nobody's black. When you talk about the color of black, there's nobody that I know of that's black, that's the color of black. But when you talk about brown people, that was Jacob, Leah and Rachel, and then you had Isaac and Rebekah. Those were black people that gave birth to Esau and Jacob. Those were black people. I'm just saying. You know, that's reality. That's how it was done. They came from us. We did not come from them. And I know I'm going to get in trouble again. I'm always saying stuff. Brother Urijah, help. I'm always getting in trouble. Jesus, man, I'm telling you, I be trying my best to stay as diplomatic as I possibly can. Woo, Lord, help me. But that's just the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it was made from the dirt of the ground. It was dirt as brown as far as I know. The dirt I played with, it wasn't sand. It was dirt. It was dirt. So, you
it was
know,
dirt I played with, too.
Say that again.
I say it was dirt I played with, too, and it's pretty dark.
It's dark, right. You know, nobody's black. Nobody is. It's brown. So, you know, the color came from brown. They came from us, which is nothing wrong with that either. You know, and then I've seen white girls give birth to brown babies. I've seen that. I've seen that with my own eyes. I have, you know. And in the same way, I've seen black girls give birth to babies that look white. I've seen that. I've seen that with my own eyes. So, I mean, it can happen either way. But I'm just saying, you know, not the fallen angels' children. I don't even know how you would know if you was a part of the fallen angels' children. How would you know that?
Uh-huh.
I'm just asking. Anybody know how they would know? Somebody please push one if you know how a person would know that they were of the fallen angels' children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we always end up having a good conversation. This was extremely good. I have enjoyed this, mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, what'd you say, Brother Urijah?
I was just laughing.
it's been fun. It's been really, really good. You know, and I have enjoyed everyone today, you know, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed the conversation, you know, because you'd be surprised what people say. Yeah, I mean, all kind of stuff come out here, you know, and I apologize if I muted you guys' phone, but sometimes we got to get a handle on some of this stuff because, you know, we'd go way down the bunny trail. We can't go down the bunny trail because we don't have that long. You know, and that's just me managing the call. So, you know, we'll maybe allow you to talk next time. So I want everybody to have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget the new moon is Friday. On this coming Friday, we're going to meet at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Saturday Sabbath Day call. We like everybody to be there. It's not going to be that long. We're going to be there to issue it in. You know, you can't buy anything on the new moon. Now, you can cook and do all that, but you can't buy anything. So, you know, you guys be ready for that. And let's see what else. Passover is April 1st at even. If you'd like to keep the Passover with us, you know, please email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. The Yehuda Project, and Yehuda spelled YEHUDAH, Project, PROJECT, at gmail.com. The Yehuda Project at gmail.com. And, you know, be prepared. Make sure you get all the leaven out of your house. Anything that has yeast in it, any kind of yeast agents, get it out. Because after the Passover, we're going right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, where you have to eat a piece of unleavened bread for 7 days. Brother Yerushalayim, do you have anything you'd like to say before we dismiss?
No, just tell everybody to, you know, stay prayed up, let's stay strong, and, you know, and let's learn together and grow together and get ready to lead together.
That works for me, and togetherness is what we promote. And on that note, shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you this upcoming week. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.